League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field, that ball is hit well, it's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league home run with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Row does over the middle.
There you go.
Cooper Quinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7 patrolling center field like a safety should?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side to the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by six more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky in 3-0. Los Angeles, Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time, followed by Face Off, the hockey show. Glad to have you on board. Coming to you tonight from the Loft Restaurant here at Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter. I walked in here. And I want to say we've been here at Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter for about 10 years now. And this is Face Off, the hockey show's 18th season. Bad math, I guess. I was not really calculating when we started this show correctly. In fact, I sent a text out to a familiar name, Norm Wehmer, who was the first guy as the program director, put Face Off, the hockey show together a long, long time ago. And he and I deciphered that this would be the 18th year of Face Off, the hockey show. So edition number one tonight, we'll be talking to Pat Nagel at 6:05 tonight, a goaltender for the Toledo Walleye, off to another great start. So he'll be the first guest here in the 2017-18 edition of Face Off, the hockey show. Of course, Drive Time, as always, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Again, Drive Time tonight from Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter, the Loft Restaurant. Rod Beard will join us at 5:15 tonight. He is in Milwaukee. The Detroit Pistons tonight taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll talk some basketball. We'll talk, too, about Stan Van Gundy's comments, of course, again, regarding a lot of political stuff. My view on this is basically he's allowed to, you know, to have any opinion he wants to have, but you know, for crying out loud, you know, I mean, I guess I was told one time, a long time ago by my father was, you know what, pick and choose your battles. Here you have a basketball team that's 10-3. He can, you know, feel very strongly on the things that, you know, either likes or dislikes politically. But you know what? Aren't you kind of busy right now? Pistons aren't drawing. They're 10-3. And, you know, now they're in the paper again, regardless what side you take on this anthem issue. And I'm not saying he doesn't have the right to voice his opinion, but there just comes times in your life you got to put certain battles down and put it off to the side. Timing is everything, and I'm not sure, you know, that's something that he should be, not for my sake or not from his, you know, his right to say it, but again, pick and choose your battles, you know, sometimes and when you're going to fight them. But more basketball than that tonight when Rod Beard, you know, appears in the show at 5:15 tonight. Then at 5:35, Matt Markey will join us. Matt Markey, of course, is the Toledo Blade outdoor editor. As always, he joins us on Wednesday night. The big news, of course, tonight, the University of Toledo Rockets will be taking on Bowling Green. That game is down at Bowling Green. I mean, the Rockets should win this one. Rockets are 8-2. They're 5-1 in the MAC. Bowling Green is 2-8, 2-4 in the MAC. I mean, you look at Bowling Green's season. They start the year, they get beat 35-10 by Michigan State. You know, that wasn't so bad. I thought, obviously, South Dakota was a real disappointment. Northwestern, Big Ten team against a MAC team. You're thinking, they got beat, but maybe not by a count of 49-7. Played a pretty good game at Middle Tennessee. Then you lose to Akron. You beat Miami. Then you lose to Ohio, who, by the way, beat the University of Toledo. Then you lost to Northern Illinois, but you beat Kent State and lost last weekend to Buffalo. So there's been some ups and downs. Mike Jinks has been under a lot of pressure. Big game for him. Obviously a big game for the University of Toledo Rockets. Maybe, just maybe, looking ahead to a rematch in the MAC championship game against the Bowling Green Falcons, or against Ohio U, which already beat the University of Toledo Rockets. That game was down at OU. So a lot of football tonight. Again, we'll have the game right here at 7 o'clock pregame show on 106.5, The Ticket, and 8 o'clock kickoff tonight. Pregame show 7, kickoff 8 o'clock tonight. Again, the University of Toledo Rockets taking on Bowling Green. Red Wings tonight, home against Calgary. They are in a tremendous run here of home games. You know, they went out west. They picked up a win in Edmonton. They picked up a win in Vancouver. Never, ever easy places to win, not only for the Red Wings, but any team that makes their way out west. So they did pretty well there. They started the trip with a loss at Ottawa. Lo and behold, got through that 2-2, and now play a huge stretch of home games over the next 5 weeks. Time to make some hay for the Red Wings because, again, I talk about it a lot, this Eastern Conference situation, very, very, very tight. All right, basketball from Milwaukee. Rod Beard will join us in just a matter of moments. Pistons, Milwaukee, surprising Pistons are 10-3. Back with that after this.
Time show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Loft Restaurant here in Sylvania, Tam-O-Shanter. Walked in this place tonight. New lights in here. Looks absolutely unbelievable. That ice and the signage in the building and the players, new lights brought on a lot of color in this great facility. This show is always driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Matt Markey coming up at 5:35 tonight. Pat Nagel, goaltender for the Toledo Walleye. Actually signed by the Grand Rapids Griffins in the American League this year, playing in Toledo. He was the goaltender of the week early in November. He'll join us at 6:05 tonight. We're going to talk some basketball from Milwaukee. Rod Beard joins us, beat writer, Detroit News, for the Detroit Pistons, who are 10-3. The last win, 112-103. They beat the Heat on Sunday. They've won 8 of 9. Very, very good for the Detroit Pistons, going in the right direction. Hello, Rod. How are you?
How's it going? I noticed you didn't say sunny Milwaukee.
I got to tell you, I traveled to Milwaukee enough in my life to know right now it's not sunny in Milwaukee, believe me. And you know what, Rod? It's made its way into Michigan. So if you left the Detroit area to go to Milwaukee for better weather, I walked in this facility about 2 hours ago, and it was pouring down rain, and it still is. Good thing is, if they still call it the Bradley Center, I know they did it one time, it won't be raining inside tonight when the Pistons take on the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, it might be raining three-pointers, if anything, from what we've seen from the Pistons. They're on pace now to have a franchise best in three-point makes. Just the change in the offense and the change in the philosophy has led to more of those opportunities for them.
You know, I read that, and you said that Stan Van Gundy's never, you know, give him credit. He listens to, well, not only his brother, but has listened to other folks over the years. You know, that's such a great trait for a coach. And you've been around enough coaches, and I have too, Rod Beard, that, you know what, all of a sudden the guy gets his mindset. here's how you play the game, and they become a little bit closed-minded at times. Good for Stan for not going down that road.
No, absolutely, and it's the same thing you can say about John Beilein when he realized what Trey Burke could do a couple of years ago on the pick and roll. Yeah, you have plays that you want to run and a system you want to run, but you have when you have the talent and the ability to do other things and to give the defense something else to worry about in their game planning, you add as many elements to your offense as you can. And again, credit to Stan Van Gundy for realizing that and using Andre Drummond in kind of a point center role. He's averaging about three to four assists a game, and that's just ridiculous for somebody who's been a traditional center for all of his career to now ask him to go out to the elbow or to the three-point line and start running dribble handoffs and pick-and-roll stuff with guys. And he's been very successful at it so far.
Successful, and it looks like he's listen, players enjoy things that are different and new challenges, whether they always rise to the, you know, and their comfort levels in the right place. So far, so good on all that. Hey, Rod, what kind of test will the Pistons see tonight in Milwaukee? I'm guessing a good one.
Yeah, it'll be a very good test. And they've already played Milwaukee. It was 12 days ago that they played them at the Palace, and they handled that really well in the second half. And this is one of the more talented teams in the NBA. They just added Eric Bledsoe 3 games ago, and so that's giving them a different defensive disposition and focus that now when you add Bledsoe to Giannis and to John Henson and to Chris Middleton, they're a long defensive team, and they're a tough team to try to crack that. Offensively, they can do so many things, but defensively, they're just long at all of those positions, and it's tough to try to get anything done. But the Pistons have done it against some of the best teams in the league, where they've been successful against the Warriors, the Clippers. They got the win over Minnesota that they'll also see on this road trip. Indiana, there are a lot of teams that give them problems, but so far they've shown that they can handle all of them.
Again, talking to Rod Beard from Milwaukee, where the Pistons play tonight. You know, it was a little Freudian slip there. You said they played at the Palace, which kind of, you know, leads to a pretty good segment. And what I was going to ask you, Rod, again, Little Caesars Arena, they've been very good on the hardwood to the Pistons. Still not drawing great. I thought you did a great job in one of your stories kind of laying out what you thought the reasons why were. And I got to tell you, I wholeheartedly – and I tell this to the ownership group, even in Windsor in the OHL, where, you know, we only have, between 5,000 and 6,000 fans at night. I am a firm believer that fans at times are getting turned off by all the electronic things in the building and the music and all the scoreboard, I'll call them shenanigans, that go on. And you know what? In Windsor, I'll be honest with the crowd base, is a little bit older. And I just think to this day, I would rather hear, you know, a real, I guess, heartfelt, loud building because of what's going on. That's just me. But among other things, and the Red Wings as well. You made a point with the red seats. A great-looking building, great venue, great for the city, but a little bit of a mystery with some points, as you pointed out, why both the Wings and the Pistons not drawing the way we think they would have.
Yeah, and it's just not an open and shut case that if you build a new arena, people are going to be able to flock down there. The first thing is just the cost, that anytime you have a new arena, it's going to be a premium. And we've always talked about the Palace as being still one of the better ones in the NBA, and it was that structurally, aesthetically. And again, the difference in those kind of gray, darker seats that just mixed in with the background and everything else that was going on, now you've got these bright red seats at Little Caesars Arena where when they are empty, all of that stuff's going to stick out like a sore thumb and you're going to see what the attendance is, whereas at the Palace, you just didn't pay attention to it as much. So it's just in the design and in the way that some of those things were done and decisions that were made that they're suffering a little bit for that.
You know, I thought your other point, Rod, was good too. I mean, the diehard basketball fans are there. But this building and the move downtown, you thought, you know, the fringe fans, and especially now, especially with a 10-3 record, the Detroit Pistons, you know, lo and behold, you would think that you would start seeing an influx of some new faces in the building.
No, and again, it's not that simple that, again, if you can't afford it, if you don't have that discretionary income that you can just throw $70-$80 on a ticket and then you got parking, and then you got popcorn, then you got, I mean, that's just you. If you're taking your kids or your family or anything like that, multiply that by two or three. But that's difficult for a casual fan, and that's what I guess a lot of the newer fans are going to be, is kind of casual, that wants to go to a game every once in a while, and maybe not the premium ones like Cleveland or Golden State or Houston. They just want to go and catch a game like a Milwaukee or a Charlotte or a random sort of team, and you don't get the opportunity to do that all the time. So it's a bigger issue. It's not just one thing. It's just a mini splinter issue, and I think they're going to have to cater to a new group of fans who are not in that Oakland County area, but are in the city and in Wayne County and different parts, that, and maybe even Windsor, who want to come up and enjoy a game and just aren't used to it yet. It's going to take some time for that to take hold for them.
Well, Rod Beard joins us here on Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Rod, of course, appears on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. You touched on Andre Drummond. Tobias Harris has been good. Avery Bradley's been very good as well. And Bullock and Reggie Jackson and Tolliver. Tell me a little bit about, I was looking at the box score the other night. You know, we know who the stars are and what they're doing right, but there seems to be a good mix here. And give us a little bit of the DNA and some of the performers right now that, I don't want to say, Rod Beard, that, you know, has surprised you, but, you know, it's kind of neat to be writing around and about another cast and the way they're getting things done.
Yeah, it's just a new addition, and the bench, I think, is one of the major reasons why they're having some success this year, is that it's not just one or two guys. Before, it was Stanley Johnson and Tobias Harris coming off that bench, and maybe you could count on Ish Smith and Aaron Baines, but those weren't really names that you knew, and there didn't seem to be the same cohesion. Now it's very much that it doesn't matter. You can put Henry Ellenson in there, who didn't see a lot of time last year. You can put Luke Kennard in a position where he's going to come in and score 10 or 12 points. It literally is. Every day it could be a different guy who's going to give you some production, and they're all looking to help their teammates to succeed in that way. Tobias Harris was the Eastern Conference Player of the Week this week, and they all took joy in helping him to do that because they know it's not a singular effort. When an award like that comes along, they know it's a reflection on the team and the success they've had as a team, more so than Tobias just going out there and selfishly looking for his own scoring. And so they all reveled in that, and they all enjoyed that. And that's good to see, because there are a lot of cases where things like that happen and the teammates don't care. They just kind of brush it off and say, yeah, that's good for him, that's great. But to a man, everybody that we talked to has said, hey, that's good, because it reflects on that we're winning, we're doing something right, because we're starting to get some national attention for it, and he got a league-wide award for it. That's very difficult to get. You don't see a lot of Pistons getting that. That's normally the LeBron award or the Kyrie Irving award. That's not something that people look and say Tobias Harris stood out among all of these superstars.
You know, it's funny, because Larry Robinson, the great defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens when I was in New Jersey, you know, I read a quote one time, and he was an assistant coach in New Jersey, but he won the Player of the Week in the NHL. He was a Hall of Famer. The first thing out of his mouth, kind of echoing your LeBron thing, well, was Wayne Gretzky sick this week? How did I get it?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know, I get it. Same type of parallel. Hey, I'm channel surfing this morning bright and early. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you what time. Believe me, Rod, the older you get, the earlier you wake up. I can't figure all that. Writers probably don't, but believe me, broadcasters do. But I got to tell you, I'm channel surfing. I got a Detroit station on this morning. I see again Stan Van Gundy. Now, I want to make myself perfectly clear. He reserves to, you know, express his opinion on anything, and I don't care if people agree or disagree. But I'm going to tell you something my grandfather told me, and it's so many years ago, I'm almost embarrassed to say that. He said, Mike, you'll get through life a lot better if you pick and choose your battles at the proper and the right time. And again, Stan yep. Van Gundy in the middle of things here on the political side, the players kneeling for the anthem, which is split just about everybody in the country on this thing. I guess my question is, why, again, would he be in the middle of this when you're fighting for fan base and you're doing a wonderful job of putting this group together and making them cohesive? I don't understand it. I just think there's times, and again, want to make myself perfectly clear here, he's entitled to think and have his opinion on anything, but I wonder about the timing. And I wonder if he wouldn't have been better off just to put some of these things in the back burner.
Yeah, and I think he's just very unapologetic about his stance on that. And he doesn't care about the public perception of it. And this was something that he had done a few weeks ago. nights ago when they were on that West Coast trip. He wrote this on the plane ride back from Los Angeles. He said it took him about 3 hours to do. But it was more of just voicing that support for not even, whether you agree or disagree, it's their right to do it. And I think that's what's been lost in a lot of this debate is you don't have to agree or disagree with it, but to say that they shouldn't do it and they can't express their rights or their opinion about something is the same thing that we're saying people are fighting for. All of the veterans, and people call it an anthem protest. It's not protesting the national anthem. It's more protesting the issues that are coming around it. And that's just the time that they chose to do it. But it really is, folks have rights to speak about anything, about burning the flag, about doing whatever. It's not that. The issue more is the social injustice and the racial issues that are behind all of this. And people want to be heard. They don't just want to be pushed to the side. And so their right to protest that way, whether they do it during the anthem or they do it at halftime or they do it wherever, it doesn't necessarily matter as much. People have taken that to be something against the anthem, that they're not standing for the anthem. But there's so many, again, it's a mini splintered issue that people have just gravitated and latched onto one piece of that discussion and saying that's what the real issue is, when it's about something else. We haven't talked about social injustice. We haven't talked about racial profiling or folks being killed by cops. That was the original intent of that protest. And we've gotten away from that and talked about the national anthem when that's not really what it's about.
Well, I mean, again, I go back to what, I mean, I just think there's a time and a place
for people
in certain positions, for the folks that employ them and for the, you know, for what you're trying to build. And I'm not saying right or wrong either way. I just think every now and then, again, listen, I'm a type A personality guy. I mean, believe me, I voice my opinion a lot. I feel strongly about a lot of things. But over the years, I've learned to just kind of back off a little bit and wonder if, you know, somewhere down the road, I wouldn't be better, I don't want to say equipped, but better off by just kind of putting it on the back burner for a while. And I think, in my opinion, that's the case with Stan, you know, right now. Here we have this wonderful thing going on with this basketball team and this new arena. I think it was back burner time a little bit. But listen, let's face it, he has the right. And that's not his personality as well. Rod Baird joins us here on the Drive Time, ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. Quick note, everybody, pregame show tonight, Bowling Green, Toledo, MAC football game, longtime rivalry. That's, again, coming up at 7 tonight. Final question, Rod. If the Pistons walk out of Milwaukee tonight with a win, besides the three-pointers, what would they have done right?
I think they would have played defense to a high level because we know what Milwaukee can do. Mentioned Giannis before and Chris Middleton. Those guys are elite level scorers. But in transition, when you get Giannis out, I mean, we've seen the videos too where he takes two steps from the midcourt line and he's already at the rim. They've got to stop them in transition and they've got to create transition opportunities on their own. And I think it's just defense. Defense is the key. And I mean, that's the old cliche that you play defense. The team that plays defense best is going to win the game. Defense wins championships. If they do it tonight and they establish that type of disposition, they'll give themselves a good chance to win.
You know what? 13 games in, Rod, I wasn't sure you and I'd be talking. You're one of our A-listers. Thanks for everything. And if you would have told me, I think like everybody else, no secret here, that the Pistons are 10-3 after 13 and you and I'd be chatting already a couple times this young season, I would have probably said, you know, probably not. But thanks for coming on. I'll be reading tomorrow. Appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, Mike. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Rod Baird from Milwaukee. This is Drive Time, TAS Electronics Update coming up. Rod appeared on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. The show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Rod Baird joined us from Milwaukee, where the Pistons taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. Glad to have you on board. First edition of Face Off, the hockey show tonight, year number 18 for Face Off. Toledo Walleye netminder Pat Nagel will join us at 6:05 tonight. Again, glad to have you on board. Coming to you tonight from Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter, the Loft Restaurant. The show is always driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. And joining us now on the Vito's Pizza phone line, Mr. Matt Markey. He is the Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. His appearance, as always, brought to you by Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle. Fishing is their passion. Expert advice is always free. They're over on Briarfield Boulevard at Maumee. Everything you need for bass, walleye, anything else that swims, our good friends at Netcraft. Hello, Mr. Markey. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing fine this evening. How are you?
You know what? I don't know if I, I'm kind of hesitant to say this, but I know you, contacted me this week, and he's so well-known in Toledo. Understand that Dave Hackenberg tomorrow, a kidney transplant, and I guess all sports fans in Toledo and folks that are tuned into this show, we certainly wish him the best. You worked with him for years. I read him for years. One of my highlights of the year was always seeing Dave out at the Marathon Classic, of course, the old Jamie Farr. Always entertaining, always had a story, so we're hoping this goes very well for him tomorrow.
We are. I mean, phenomenal writer, but an even better person and a long-time friend. Send a lot of good thoughts his direction.
Yep, no doubt about it. Matt Markey joins us here. Speaking of family members, you'd never fail to put a little lump in my throat, for crying out loud, but I read your story, of course, about the veterans, and especially your mom, First Lieutenant Helen Matthews Markey, mother to a large family, nurse during World War II, served in England, and hats off to her and all of our veterans and the folks that protect us and have protected us, and most of them do that, Matt, without a lot of fanfare.
They do, and that was the case, with my mother as well. It was the most difficult thing was to get her to even, talk about serving in the Army in World War II and some of the things that she might have been exposed to and situations she had to deal with as a very, very young woman, not too long out of nursing school, and worked at hospitals in Baltimore for a little bit before going into the service. But you think about somebody, just past 20 years old being put in a situation like that where they're patching up, guys that have been wounded in combat and taking care of, enemy prisoners and, sitting in the bomb shelter at night. I mean, it's just that kind of stuff. You just can't fathom anyone today going through that and not feeling traumatized for the rest of their lives. But with so many of our military, it's just the service part supersedes everything, and they don't act like it was a major sacrifice, and they certainly don't want the spotlight. And Veterans Day certainly is an appropriate time, but I think we'd probably do better if we paid more attention to them throughout the year.
No, it goes without saying. I mean, within 100% agreement. I see people now, I think it's the end of the world because they've lost their phone for 25 minutes, and as you just put together, sitting in a bomb shelter and taking care of guys that are wounded, and their lives will never be the same. I've told you this before. My parents owned a restaurant and a tavern that was filled with that generation, day in and day out, people that got out of the war and came home and worked. And, rarely ever a peep about some of the things they had gone through. And as I said before, you go on the Internet now and you read about some of the things not only my dad but uncles and other guys experienced and ladies during World War II. You just sit there and shake your head and go, you know what? This wasn't a big deal when they came home, and they just kind of got on with their lives. And you also touched on a number of those folks, Matt Markey, that, have come home, and I think part of their solace and part of their enjoyment, regardless of the age, has been hunting and fishing and enjoying the outdoors.
It has been, and I've talked to certainly many, many over the years, Mike, and there's a real value in that that solitude of sitting in a tree stand in the woods, and it's sure you're deer hunting, but it's not really about that. It's a real nice time to collect your thoughts and kind of get away from everything. And I think people that go serve in war and serve in far away across the world, they come back with a really new perspective or appreciation for those simple things in our lives, and being able to decide, well, today today I'm going to go duck hunting, or today I'm going to go fish on the lake or something. We have that privilege here, and I think once you're someplace else and everything is so rigid and so structured and you're in harm's way for so long, when you come back, you have a deeper appreciation for all these things that we have. And I see that all the time in our veterans.
Again, talking to Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. Again, his appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Netcraft, coming to you tonight from Sylvania. Tam and Shanner, new lights in this building. I walked in here, almost had to put sunglasses in. On Face Off, the hockey show comes up at 6 o'clock tonight, first edition this year as well. You know, I got to tell you, twice in my life I've been, face-to-face with a possible vehicle, a deer collision. One was up near Gull Lake between Kalamazoo and Battle Creek years ago when I lived up there. And one was last year coming home at about midnight, Matt, from Windsor. And I was either on, Dean Road or Rauk Road, one of those roads coming back north of Temperance, Michigan there. And on both occasions, I was just stunned by this, that the deer, as much as people say blinded, deer in the headlights, on both occasions literally leapt and over by the hood of my car. I couldn't believe it. I had the binders on the second time. I might have been able to avoid them. Lucky it wasn't slippery. But, you know, it just reiterates to me, after looking at the numbers in both Ohio and Michigan, just how common this is, deer and car collisions.
Yeah, it's something that we need to just have an increased awareness about, because, the numbers are pretty staggering, with, nearly 20,000 of these reported last year in Ohio and almost 50,000 in Michigan. And those are the ones that are reported. There's probably a significant number that don't go reported. But in a lot of those, it's not just vehicle damage. There's, people get hurt as well. And, at certain times of the year, and we're right in the heart of it right now, when the deer mating season is on and the hunting season is on, plus as farmers take crops off the field, all three of those factors will push deer to move, out of their normal travel corridors, out of their normal, patterns and so on, where you can go months and months and not see a deer, and then all of a sudden at this time of year, with all three of those factors converging, it seems like deer are everywhere. So people just need to slow down a little bit, keep a real close eye on the right off the edge of the road where you'll commonly see those eyes before they bolt. And just, be aware that if a deer comes across the road, you don't want to swerve and endanger the people in your vehicle or another vehicle. You want to just try to slow down and control things a little bit. But the deer are out there, and we're right in the heart of the busiest time for these, them crossing the road. And also, if everyone just slows down a little bit, it's a little bit more careful, it'll be, better outcome.
Pretty good segue here, too, when you're talking about hunting, firearm season, right upon us here in the state of Michigan. And the headline in your story was really, about big bucks, and that has a dual meaning, obviously. Big business, and we've talked about this before, whether it's the walleye out in the lake and whether it's hunting in this portion of the Midwest, Ohio and Michigan. And, again, you've educated me and, become an avid reader of your stories on Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. Talking about the things that go on here, and it just, it reiterates again that the amount of people that are involved in this, not only enjoying, hunting, fishing, other activities, but the amount of people that really make their livings because of those activities.
Yeah, it's a really significant part of the economy in Michigan and certainly in Ohio as well. When you think about Michigan will see, more than 500,000 people who will hunt in the next 2 weeks. The firearm season opened today, and for the next 2 weeks, more than 500,000 people will be out deer hunting in Michigan. And it's not just the licenses and the deer permits, it's the gasoline, it's the equipment, it's the firearms, it's the ammunition, it's the places to stay, the places to eat, the places to buy fuel, it's the processing of the deer. There's a real multiplier effect there where it really ripples through the economy, and there's a lot of jobs involved, certainly, and, billions of dollars. And anytime someone, raises a question, why do you make such a big deal out of this? It is a big deal. It's a very big deal. Deer season in Ohio and Michigan has a huge economic impact, and it just seems to be something that is kind of growing now as we get more women involved in the sport, and certainly a lot more programs for youth to get involved in hunting. It's economic posture, I think, is just going to grow.
Matt, before I let you go, tell me a little bit about your take on the Bowling Green University of Toledo Rocket game tonight. We're going to have it right here at 7 o'clock on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Some great matchups over the years. This one a little bit different. One team's 8-2. The other one is 2-8 against 7 o'clock tonight for our pregame show right here on The Ticket. You've covered those games before. You're a Bowling Green alumnus. And tell me about this year's matchup and maybe a quick memory of the series.
Well, I think they're a lot more fun when these games are, you know, both teams are very good and they're in contention for, you know, divisional or league championships. You know, I think the rivalry tends to crank up quite a bit more. But I think this year, with the difficulty that Bowling Green's had, it's kind of a way to maybe salvage something out of their season if they're able to beat their rival, which they haven't done in a long time. And for Toledo, they seem to be on a march towards the MAC championship game, and they can't afford to, you know, have a hiccup or something here. It's just, it'll be kind of a sloppy night with the rain and the wet field, but I think that, you know, these things have kind of a strange way of skewing, you know, what we see as an uneven matchup. And we saw that last year where they battled right down to the end and Toledo won the game right at the end. You know, I've had some great memories of this. I think one of my favorite ones was back when you know, Coach Amstutz was coaching the Rockets, and he just had a real clever way of making, you know, adding importance, you know, to the rivalry, and doing so with, you know, certainly without mentioning your opponent, but always with that little twinkle in his eye. I really enjoyed Tom and his when he coached the Rockets and covering them and all. And I also think Urban Meyer did his best when he was at Bowling Green to make sure that this thing had a lot of significance with the players by, you know, refusing to use Toledo's name and kind of coining that team up north phrase. It's kind of grown and been used in other areas and all. But I think the coaches understand the psychological leverage they can get out of this, and the really good coaches tend to maximize that. Maybe their team plays a little bit above, you know, its capabilities. So anxious to see, you know, what transpires tonight.
Good stuff, Matt. Always great hearing your voice. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk next week.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mulholland, coming to you tonight from Sylvania, Tam-O-Shanter. We'll be back to close it out after this. This is Drive Time.
More of the best in local sports talk. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Another edition of the Drive Time in the books. Face off the hockey show right around the corner. I'd like to thank our guest tonight. Rod Beard of the Detroit News joined us from Milwaukee tonight, where the Pistons take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Pistons go into that one 10-3. Absolutely on a tremendous roll, this Detroit Pistons basketball team. Matt Markey joined us tonight, of course, talking about some of the stories that he wrote during the week. The veteran story, of course, and included his mom, which was a great story. She was mother to 14 kids, by the way, and Matt was one of them. His dad was a doctor. She served as a first lieutenant in World War II as a nurse in the Army. So I enjoyed that story. Talked about the business side of things when it comes to hunting up in Michigan. And, of course, I mean, I've had a couple of close calls, knock on wood, with these deer in the middle of the road, especially for me late at night. And so far, so good. I've been able to avoid them. All right, everybody, right around the corner, face off the hockey show. Pat Nagel will join us, Toledo Walleye goaltender, to kick off the 18th season of Face Off. This is Mike Miller from Sylvania, Tam-O-Shanter, saying stick around, everybody. We'll be back after this.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.